there, folks. So quite a few people asked if I'd do a video on Oswald Spengler, who I really like. I'm really fascinated by his thought. But then the problem is there's already quite a lot of heavy-duty stuff out there on YouTube. I still think that John David Ebert's like monumental series is the gold standard, and there's no way I can get anywhere near that. But what I do think is that now that we're heading into another Star Wars season and we're going to see this franchise, which has become just this shambles, and of course it tells the grand story that it's had to tell, and the mess that it's became, and can you apply Spengler's model of the rise and fall of civilizations, can you apply it to a work of fiction, is an interest, something that have been on my mind quite a lot. And I think in the case of Star Wars, you actually can. I think when you compare the two, it works out very handily. So first of all, the Spengler's view, cyclical view of history, is that if you think of it like a plant, it shoots up, and then in its springtime it's full of energy, and then it moves on into its sort of mature phase where it's at its peak, and then it decays, and then it dies. No civilizations go on forever. They've got a definite beginning, middle, and then an end. And in the early stages of civilizations, they find their form. Now he in the case of Faustian Western civilization, that's the infinite, the symbol of the infinite. And then in Star Wars, though, that would be pushing it a little bit too far. But nevertheless, what you can see in the original Star Wars trilogy is that what would inform all of the movies that came after it was formed in the very first Star Wars movie, which when it came out was just called Star Wars A New Hope. And so we got the basic outline, which was the farm, but which itself was based on Buddhism and Joseph Campbell's Hero with a Thousand Faces. There was the archetypes, there was the Merlin Gandalf type figure, the Dark Wizard was in there, the Dark Sorcerer was in there, you had a cowboy, you had a princess to be rescued, and then of course there was the setting, which was in space, and a general, but when you put it all together, along with the idea of the Force, this mystical element to the universe, when you put all of that together, it's actually created something quite magical. And we can see that the basic outline, the basic narratives were created in the very first movie, and the rest of the trilogy didn't really go too far away. There was a certain set of rules, meta rules, which were laid down with things that could happen and couldn't happen, and there was also expectations of on the characters and on the archetypes themselves. And so the boy would have to find his courage and become a man, or the cynical cowboy figure would have to soften his heart and think of more than himself. Or in the end, the Dark Knight character of Darth Vader would find redemption and choose his son over the Galactic Empire. And all of these narratives were bound together in this perfect bundle, mythological, fantastical bundle, which of course everybody loved. Well, I certainly did as a boy, because it's, and looking back now, I can see that it was because it was a perfect combination of fantasy archetypes, fictional archetypes, which appeal to young European men. And in the second movie, especially Empire Strikes Back, there's a very, very heavy element, emphasis on the Force, on the religious, mystical aspects to the Star Wars universe. And it has its own rules and it has its own structures. And then that what they are doing in the original trilogy is to explore all of these narratives and all of these rules from every angle that they can and put it all to the test, but never actually break the rules of the genre or the rules that has already been set down, which George Lucas has already set down within his own universe. And so by the time it finishes, It finishes with a general feeling that you've been on that journey and you can identify with all the characters, you understand the metaphysics, you understand the religious aspects, and you've had a hell of a good ride, and you feel like, in the end, truth, beauty and goodness has won the day. And so it was this perfect set of archetypes and perfect set of narratives on which, well, it should have really ended there, but they didn't do that. And so in Spenglerian terms, this is the Star Wars franchise in its spring. This is the equivalent of the civilization finding its soul, if you like. And in the case of Western civilization, that would be building cathedrals which would scream upwards into the infinite space, and being very devout and being very traditional, as we would look at it from this perspective. So from Spengler's point of view, this is the springtime of the civilization, full of energy, youth and vigour. Of course, the problem with that is that the money masters in Hollywood wanted more because they wanted to make more money, which led to the creation of the prequels. So when we get to the prequels, what we see is that because of the success of the original franchise, the studios just seem to want to throw an endless amount of money at George Lucas. So George Lucas entered his middle age very rich, and so did his franchise, and they just showered it with money. And what we saw was this huge spectacle where the screen was always full. And most of the drama takes place on a city the size of a planet, which is very interesting, because this is also what Spengler would say marks the beginning of the civilizational phase, is the expansion of the megalopolis of the city, which then begins to dictate the affairs of people out in the hinterland. And the city, of course, also breeds materialism, the rise of science, the rise of rationalism, and all of these abstract intellectual ideas about democracy and rights. And this is pretty much the dominant narratives within the prequel saga. But the basic mythology is still in place. But what they're doing is setting down narratives which will undermine that. And a perfect example of that would be when Qui-Gon Jinn meets Anakin, and he gets into the how the Force actually works. How the Force is put together is this famous scene with midichlorians. And it's no longer something which is purely mystical and spiritual. It's actually something which you can quantify and rationalize and measure with some sort of scientific gadget. And the effect that that has is to remove the viewer, or to shatter their belief in the Force, in the religion of the saga. You then step outside of it and you look back into it and you become a skeptic. And so you become skeptical about the founding narratives of the entire civilization and of the original trilogy as well. And so what we can see is that the civilizational phase is also the phase of the Enlightenment. What begins to dominate now is no longer a young man, and the more traditional values of the original one, of a young man confronting his fears and moral absolutes. What you get instead is arguments and wars over abstract values which have rose from the Enlightenment thinking and the civilizational phase. And again, this is also a hallmark of the prequels, of these gigantic battles being waged out also by science and money. And they even have a Senate, and they're talking about democracy. All of this is Enlightenment stuff. And so you can see that with the success of the original blooming of the civilization, the meta-narrative, the whole of it put together, when it reaches a position of strength and wealth and comfort, it then begins to ask questions of itself, which begin to unravel and undermine the original narratives which it was based on. And the whole thrust of the prequels is somebody shifting, is the rise of Darth Vader. He begins to ask questions of the Jedi Order. So it's not just the Force as an entity, which now can now be rationalized and measured scientifically. It's also that the main character is moving from the Jedi Order over to the dark side of the Force, and this then too, beforehand the Jedi were unquestionably good, but this you begin to ask the question, because when he confronts Yoda, the woman that I love is going to die, can I use the Force, can I save her? Well, the fact is, as a Jedi, he shouldn't even be in love with a woman, and he shouldn't. All he's told by Yoda, no, you can't save her, you've got to let nature flow. Whereas of course the Emperor of the Dark Side says, yeah, come with me and we'll figure that out. And so the absolutist positions of the Jedi are then undermined, because you begin to think, well, is it right? Is it right that the Jedi demand of him that he allow the woman he loves to die? Why isn't he allowed to have a woman? Why isn't a Jedi Knight allowed to love a woman or be married or have children? And so, again, you get this sceptical attitude towards the founding myth, the founding narratives of the entire Star Wars saga. And this leaves it in a very precarious situation. And once again, the armies that they are raising are created through cloning. So science is now in the scene. And so too are these gigantic battles of economic blocks. There's even an embargo. And so, as from the Spenglerian point of view, this is actually spot on. This is the civilizational phase which leads to massive upheavals and people beginning to question the founding narratives and the founding mythos of the civilization itself. And it, even though it's powerful, even though it has still a hell of a lot of momentum, it's actually become a little bit unhinged. And what's fascinating about the end of it, when the Sith Lords are victorious, then what they've actually justified as well, is the creation of a gigantic technocratic monolithic empire where everything is standardized, where all the soldiers are the same, all of the spaceships are the same. They're creating the Death Star. Now materialism and technology is going to bring order to the galaxy, even if it does have the mythical element of the Force are controlling it. They are using science and rationalism to enslave the entire galaxy. That's how they're going to bring order, which is of course the far removed from the main points made in the first film. Of course they are the bad guys, but then it's still the story of this technocratic modernism coming in. We've moved now from the traditional order of the first one. We've gone through the Enlightenment, through skepticism and the rise of democracy and all of the abstract intellectualism. We've gone from the megalopolis, the rise of the city, the rise of the elites in the city imposing their will over everybody. Democracy's been subverted. It's kind of like the rise of Caesarism, which would be a neat way to end this. But we're not done. The decay and the destruction of this franchise isn't done yet. It's about to get much worse. So the reason why the prequels weren't as popular as the original is because the original magic was undercut and debunked through skepticism and what Enlightenment kind of values. What happens when you apply that to a mythological and spiritual structure, you're taking out of it. So they literally took the audience out of the main meta-narrative and they could then look back in at it and begin to critique it. But there's a lot more critique to come. And it ended up, of course, with the galaxy being enslaved in a technocratic empire. But things are going to get a lot worse. So now we've arrived at the most recent entry into the franchise, the final film is on the way, but that's going to be a train wreck as well. These movies are notoriously bad, and there's been a million and one YouTube videos explaining why in the most excruciating detail. But the basics are that we're back in the technocratic empire, but the standard narratives just don't apply anymore. And the reason why they don't is because we've pretty much entered post-modernity. So what we're looking at now is what Spengler would perhaps call the cult of the dead. And it means that the original flame or the original energy of the franchise of the civilization in Star Wars has long since left, crushed by rationalism and the technocratic nature of the universe, which has become through abstract ideologies, through democracy, through economics, through science. The original energy and dynamism has just been, it's just gone completely. But at least in the case of the prequels, it was a story about how that came about, and it remained within the mythological structure. It was criticizing it from within the main narrative. When we get to the most recent movies with J.J. Abrams, from the Hollywood's perspective, it's just purely a money-making scam for Disney. It's got no originality whatsoever. And so how do they actually go about doing it? There's two main problems with all of the movies. One of them is that they've gone back into the glory days, and they've tried to resurrect the tropes and resurrect the characters and the archetypes of before, but it's all a bit facile and the audience see through it. The audience see that there's nothing really there anymore. They're scraping the barrel, looking for the old narratives which people enjoyed, and everybody sees it. It's a dead art form now. There's nothing there. It's just a decayed. It's entered its ancient days. And so in order to try and satisfy the fan base, they just keep whipping the dead horse and pulling up the old characters, and in some cases literally bringing characters back from the dead. And then the second problem they've got is that it's put in the postmodern style of it means that they're going to compound the problem of repetition and just bringing characters back from the good old days. And what they're going to do then is deliberately set about destroying all of the previous narratives, because this is the postmodern Star Wars. And so Luke Skywalker's brought back in it, but he's then portrayed as this sort of cantankerous, grumpy old coward. Han Solo's brought back to it, he's okay, but then he gets killed. And then you've got all of these different storylines which are being subverted and subverting your expectations, as they say. The Force itself, of course, because we're in the age of postmodernism and social justice, the Force itself used to be where one particular family, but special individuals, would be lucky to be endowed with an understanding of the Force, and then they would have a moral duty to confront evil using that power. In the postmodern Star Wars, it's dished out equally. Anybody can have it. It's just a matter of understanding it and then reading a few books. Nobody is special anymore. Nothing is special anymore. So another narrative which has fallen. And then, of course, it leads you into a dead end. It's just complete nihilism. The armies are now ruled over by women, so that's another one which has gone. And what they end up with is this dead end of a franchise. This in Spenglerian terms, this is now a dead civilization, where all that's left is nothing new can come into being, because the original essence has long since left. And so then they try to resurrect the old ways. That fails, or it's seen as fake. And then on top of that, they're going to deliberately set about demolishing the older tropes for the sake of entertainment. And so it's like cannibalism, and nothing new can come from it, and nothing will. there's just a wasteland of a franchise now. I mean, how they would actually bring that back to life, if they can at all, they would have to be completely removed from this entire Skywalker saga and try and do something in this universe with a new form, which with a new spark to set it all in motion again. But the point here is that you have, it's actually a perfect example of having the original spark of creativity, which then flows into something quite magical and energetic and world-changing, and then it reaches its sort of lazy, flabby middle age, goes through the Enlightenment and cynicism and skepticism and modernism, comes out on the other side of that as being this sort of clown world train wreck. And so if you were to wrap this up, I think there's a very, very strong case indeed to be made where you can actually sort of pinpoint it within the Star Wars saga, Oswald Spengler's fall and decline of Western civilization, and what was a well-loved fantasy which everybody enjoyed and everybody got a warm magical glow from, becomes this sort of nihilistic social justice trash which everybody just ridicules and tears down. And what does that say about Western civilization as a whole? Well, Spengler's he's a famous pessimist, and what we need to be looking for is that new spark, I think. So I'll catch you later, folks, and thanks for listening.